This episode of Spawned is brought to you by Homer, the learn-to-read app for kids 2 to 8 that's not only fun for kids, but with just 15 minutes a day of use, it's proven to increase reading scores by 74%. Sign up now at learnwithhomer.com/spawned, and Spawned listeners get a 2-month free trial. That's learnwithhomer.com/spawned. Welcome to Spawned, a common sense and hopefully fun discussion on parenting and parenting culture. Hey, I'm Kristen Chase.
And I'm Liz Gumbiner, and we are the co-founders of CoolMomPics.com. And on today's episode of Spawned, we are so excited to talk to comedy writer James Breakwell, who you all might better know on social media as the hilarious Exploding Unicorn. He's not actually an exploding unicorn, that's just his Twitter, Kristen. And he's the author of Only Dead on the Inside, A Parent's Guide to Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse, which is obviously the book we all need right now.
Yes, indeed. And I am very well prepared to laugh, and I'm sure our listeners will appreciate that. And as always, we will close our show with our cool picks of the week. Well, let me just say, Liz, all you keep talking about is Exploding Unicorn, Exploding Unicorn this, Exploding Unicorn that.
I
know. And oh my God, he's got 980,000 Twitter followers, so apparently you're not the only one.
I get to say I knew him when. He didn't know me, but I think I followed him when he had like a few hundred. He was so funny, and then he blew up, so he's got close to a million Twitter followers, and he knows that I kind of Twitter stalk him probably because I think besides political stuff, I favorite like every single thing he tweets.
That's awesome.
So, James, we're so happy that you joined us today. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. I am pumped.
And we're really glad you're going to help share tips for surviving the zombie apocalypse as a family, because honestly, what better expert for post-apocalyptic disaster management and family care than a funny guy on Twitter?
Yeah, I feel like the apocalypse has already started in my house. If you were to look around right now, you could not tell whether the world was up or running or not. Everything always kind of has just a few feet of debris over it. It's tough doing this in the Instagram era. You got to take pictures, and my wife will look and be like, I cannot believe you showed that in that picture. It's like, what? This is our house. This is what it is. I don't know what else you want me to do.
Well, you have four kids. I have four kids. Liz has two kids. It doesn't matter really how many kids you have. It always feels like your home is an apocalypse when there are children involved. But I have to say, I am not really up on zombies at all, other than the fact that I record this podcast in my closet, and I feel like perhaps this is preparing me for the possible zombie apocalypse. But I know Liz is more privy to information about zombies, so I really need your help.
Yeah, actually, I'm really glad you brought that up, because here's the thing, James. So I've seen World War Z and Shaun of the Dead and Zombieland and Walking Dead. I went back and I've seen all the George Romero stuff, and I like zombie shows. So I feel like I have like a pretty good sense of some things that I'd need to do or who to pair up with in the zombie apocalypse. But for Kristen, she's going to be like eaten the first day at this point. So what tips can you give her? Like, what's some basics to get started?
Well, I mean, it's okay if she gets eaten, because that's just more resources left for the rest of us. We can't all survive.
Jeez, James, like we're 2 minutes in and you're already offing me? Man, I thought we had some solidarity with our children. Apparently not.
I'm just playing the odds here, okay? But if you do survive, I think the number one thing you got to do is everybody is going to go for the grocery store. They're going to rush there and they're going to grab everything that you can eat. I mean, you're a parent. You should go to the liquor store, because people aren't going to think of that. And you're going to need that alcohol to survive, because one, it's calories. And two, if you don't have a little bit in your system, I mean, the zombies aren't going to kill your kids. You are. So you're going to be cooped up in the house with them all day. So it's just going to make things easier for everybody for the entire apocalypse. So I would say start with that. And then the next thing, everybody always wants to go out in this grand adventure and search for things. Just stay in your house. I mean, it already kind of looks like a disaster. People walking by can't really tell if you're alive or not. Just stay where you are. Keep it messy. And maybe people will assume the zombies already got you. So your messiness is going to save your life.
Oh, see, this is making parents everywhere just feel so much better about the piles of laundry and Legos, because really, in the end, it's going to save us, is what you're saying. This is going to be our ticket to survival.
Yeah, you didn't even know you were preparing, but you were every day, every time it's a disaster. Your kids are trying to keep you alive with it, too. It's all coming together right now. This is the time to use all those skills.
Well, I really like the whole essence of the book, because, like, as you said, there's so many guides out there about surviving the zombie apocalypse, but you wrote that they all assume readers are young, fit, and unencumbered by miniature versions of themselves. And according to that scenario, the only humans left will be smug, outdoorsy millennials.
All those guidebooks, I don't know if you ever read any of them. It's crazy. It sounds like every single guidebook is, you know, written to Bear Grylls. Like, oh, you're in trouble. No problem. You know, rub two sticks together and build a fire. You know, use your elbows to kill a bear. And just things that nobody can do. Nobody can do those things. And not only can we not do those things, we've got kids that we're going to drag along the whole way. And I think on TV and in books and stuff, you get the kids in there. It's like, oh, kids will rise to the occasion. They'll buckle down when it matters. And like, that's not any child I have ever met. Any child I've ever met, like the more important it is for them to behave themselves, the worse they're going to be. So, you know, there'll be zombies knocking down the door and they'll be, you know, having a temper tantrum because they don't like their shoes. I mean, it's just, it's going to continue like it has been. So that's what the book is getting ready for. It's going to be your regular kids, but worse.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, we here at Spawned and at Cool Mom Picks really take pride in discussions about how to talk to your kids about certain things. And we've addressed everything from tragedies to sex to, you know, everything in between. So, you know, from a parenting perspective, can you just talk about how we can talk to our own children about the world ending?
Well, I've got a table in the book where I go through every age group and tell you exactly what to say to break the news to them. But I mean, under a certain age, your kids really aren't aware that the world is up and running anyway. So they're not going to notice. You are kind of their world. If you got a baby, just kind of jingle some keys in front of their face and they'll get the idea. If they're a little older, you know, I've got a 3-year-old now, and I just gently tell them, you know how you were biting everybody in daycare? Well, it caught on. For older kids, you know, you can break the news to them in a positive way. You're like, hey, guess what? School's canceled. Everything's canceled. The world ended. You know, just you kind of lead in with the good news and work your way down to the bad. But it's an important conversation we all have to have. Actually, my wife and I have divided up the labor. She's going to have the sex talk with our kids, and I'm going to have the zombie talk. So, you know, division of labor.
Yeah, that sounds like a wise decision. Yeah.
And I like that you're being honest with kids because, you know, we talk a lot about how a lot of parents kind of want to shield their kids from the horrors of the world, or they don't want them to see any violence on TV. But I feel like when there's zombies outside your door, like, it's important to be frank with them.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of being honest with the kids in all contexts. Because if you shelter them, I mean, there's going to be that one horrible day where they realize what the world is like, whether there are zombies in it at that point or not. And I'd rather get the shock out of the way when they're younger and it's still socially acceptable for them to cry. You know, just get it all out of your system so they're not walking out the door, you know, freshman year of college, like, oh no, so this is what's going on. So we'll just disillusion them early, dash their hopes and dreams, and then everything from there is, you know, going to be on the way up.
So basically, you're saying that I can't tell my kids that every day is Halloween. Like, that's not going to work for me. Because I was thinking maybe I could just do that. Like, every day is Halloween, but we stay inside and trick or treat with our costumes and everybody else is outside. No?
It's a brilliant strategy, but you're going to run out of candy and then nobody's going to be happy. I don't know if you've ever tried to have a candy-free Halloween. It does not end well.
That sounds like a zombie apocalypse, just that idea of doing Halloween with no candy. So yeah, no. All right. I appreciate this information. This is great. I'm taking notes, by the way.
So I've always had this question, and my boyfriend John and I, we have this huge debate. James, as a zombie apocalypse expert, do you think zombies are more like World War Z or Train to Busan, where they can run at you full force, you know? Or are they more like Walking Dead, where they kind of give you a head start and amble along? Like, are we gonna have speed on our side or no?
We are going to have speed on our side.
Yes!
There's only one kind of zombie, and that's slow zombies. Everything else is an abomination.
I'm so glad to hear that those are just fiction, because I was really worried.
I didn't know there was anything other than slow zombies. Oh. Now I'm a little afraid there was the possibility that they could run quickly.
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole genre of fast zombies out there. And it's just awful because if zombies are fast, you might as well just become a zombie because they never have to eat. They never have to sleep. Like, and they live forever. They exist like they are forever. Like, the only downside of being a zombie is being slow, which, you know, as an American, is a fate worse than death. Like, if I can't get there fast, it's not worth doing. So I can't imagine shambling around forever. So if you make them fast, they're basically superheroes. So that would be awful. So no, my zombies are slow. You can outrun them. You can probably outwalk them.
That actually bodes well for our younger children who are like, I don't want to walk.
You know, that's what a lot of the book is about, is just how do you get them from point A to point B when they refuse to move? You know, piggyback rides, leashes, whatever. There's a chart in there about when to toss them in a trash can with wheels on. I thought about things that no normal person should think about for this book.
But it sounds like city kids might have the advantage here, though, Liz, because your kids will walk for miles and miles. My kids, we live in the burbs. Forget it. They're going one block and they're begging for a taxi. So I'm going to need to prep them in some other ways. It sounds like maybe with hiding spots. Do you have any suggestions other than my podcast closet, which... unfortunately, is really not the best hiding spot. But maybe you've got some suggestions for kids.
Kids are absolutely awful at hiding. I don't know how your kids are. Mine, they sit there and they hide behind the thinnest thing in the room and you can see them from every direction. So if a zombie breaks in, I mean, we're probably as good as dead. But my preferred hiding spot is someplace that they can run away from, like a kitchen island. Get on one side, the zombie walks around, you can run to the other side. Oh. Bathtubs are good too, because they've got a curtain. You can just kind of toss all the kids in there at once, and any place with a lock. But yeah, I think your podcast closet is perfect. If you could throw some food and water in there.
Yeah, and my designer
you're good
shoes.
To go.
Yeah, and anything high up, I would think. The zombies are not good at like walking upstairs. So if you're like on the second floor or like a mezzanine or someplace, maybe you could jump down from later. That seems like that would suit you better than being like down in a basement where they could all fall on top of you.
Exactly. And one of the zombie guides I read, they're like, okay, here's what you do. You go upstairs and you destroy the staircase. Like, how much work is that? Who has ever destroyed a staircase? I advocate putting up baby gates, because I don't know if you've ever tried to step over a baby gate. You cannot. You trip every time. And I've had kids push on them and fall on top of them and like slide down like a surfboard. I mean, those baby gates are deadly. So just put up a few of those and it should stop the zombies.
Or put Legos on the steps, right? I mean, can't you just booby trap the steps with Legos? I mean, I just think about how much I writhe in pain from stepping on one. Do zombies have those pain receptors?
They don't feel pain, but they have bad balance. So it all goes back to the debris. The messier the house, the more likely you are to survive. So leave those toys out there, especially if they've got sharp parts and wheels and cords and whatever. You've got a zombie death trap on your hands.
Kristen, actually, I'm glad you're asking this question, because the fact that you think that you could defeat the zombies with Legos scares me a little for your well-being.
Well, I mean, they don't sound very smart.
They're like missing whole limbs and like organs are falling out of them. Their Legos are not going to bother them that much.
Right, but they're slow moving. I mean, they don't even think to take an escalator or an elevator. They just don't sound very smart. You just said they don't have brains in their head. So, you know, I'm just going based on common deduction here, but clearly I'm way off base. And thankfully, we have your book, James, to make sure that we're all prepared. Because otherwise, what else would I do?
It has a good success rate, too. So far, nobody who has read my book has died in a zombie attack. Not one. That's 100% survival
That's
rate.
That's actually amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a data nerd. And for me, like the idea that this has helped 100% of the people that have read it, that's pretty compelling.
Yeah, I'm willing to back it up with a money back guarantee. If you die in a zombie attack, I will refund your money. It doesn't get any more solid than that.
You're a good guy, James. We can tell you're a dad because you're so giving.
Yeah, I don't know how you'll get the money, but we'll worry about that when it comes to it.
Although you might have some smart ass who's like, well, you know, my mother-in-law, she doesn't have a brain and she's missing a couple of limbs. You know what I mean? Like, I got attacked at her hand. Give me my money back.
We'll leave that for the courts to decide.
Well, I'm actually glad you did bring up Legos, Kristen, because there was a section in the book where you talked about repurposing toys into weapons. And that is so good for the frugal and crafty moms who listen to our podcast. So do you have any other tips for like how to repurpose the toys or other things around your house that could be more useful in other ways?
Well, I mean, every toy is a weapon. I mean, you let your kids play with it for 30 seconds, especially if you've got multiple kids, and they'll hurt somebody. Every toy, you know, ends up in their eye or in their mouth or someplace it shouldn't. So I advocate in there anything that shoots something, especially darts, you know, use those. Zombies have eyes, you can blind them. Anything with cords will get tangled around them. Anything with plastic. I don't know how your plastic toys break, but mine always seem to break with sharp edges and stuff. So you can sharpen a Barbie or whatever else you need and make a good stabbing weapon. I mean, toys are dangerous. It's time to use that to your advantage. When they break, it's just a new weapon.
Barbie leg shiv. New spinoff product. I like that.
I don't think I'll be getting an endorsement for Barbie anytime soon.
Sorry, Mattel.
I can see an apocalypse Pinterest board specifically for how to turn toys and, of course, the always popular tape dispenser and tissue box that you always see on Pinterest, how to turn those into zombie weapons. I'm excited for this. I can't wait to check this board
this
out.
This is an underserved market. This needs to be a thing right now. I'm excited, too. You should make this happen.
You know what? Why not? We have pitches. We should just do that.
The sad part is we probably have all of those things right now. Like, I literally just need to go downstairs and take a photo. I don't have to actually craft. But wait, that's the best kind of crafting.
All I know is if there's some way to repurpose Beanie Boos, squishies, or fidget spinners, figures, I'm all in.
Yes, please. Yes,
and then I won't feel so bad for having like 100 million of them around our house.
We had one fidget spinner and it broke. I don't know how they're supposed to work, but whatever you're supposed to do with it, my kids somehow did it wrong and it's now in pieces in the garbage, I think.
Oh, yeah, you have to throw it out because otherwise there's choking hazards and people will yell at you on Facebook and call you a terrible parent, all kinds
now,
of stuff.
Did you guys hear? There was a gentleman, or maybe more, that did have a body organ fidget spinner incident.
What?
So, you know, they really could.
I assume you're talking about external male organs?
Yes, I'm talking about the third arm. That third arm that they just didn't get rid of. But apparently there were some incidents. People have seen them in the ER. So I'm assuming that collection of 40 fidget spinners that I spent all my kids' college money on, it's going to come in handy. Thank you, James. Thank you.
Those things are, they're deadly in ways I didn't even imagine. Now I feel much safer already.
So you also have like a lot of tips specifically about repurposing strollers.
Oh, I love strollers. I don't know how much you guys have used umbrella strollers, but those things are deadly. I hit my shins on them all the time. They're always just a little bit too short for me. And I finally figured, why not do something useful with this? Why not turn it into a weapon? So yeah, there's an entire chapter on how to basically sword fight with a stroller, use it as a club, do whatever else. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who's ever thought of using it that way, but I had a lot of fun with that chapter. And I really think a stroller could kill a zombie. I think it would win the matchup.
I would love to see that.
I'm picturing you like in a garage with like an umbrella stroller, kind of wielding it different ways to see what works and trying it out and trying like different ninja poses. Like, did you really test out kind of the impact of a stroller?
I have not hit anybody with a stroller. My wife was not going to go for that one.
No, not a real person. You know, like
your
some
wife.
You know, you need
a volunteer to stand right here just for a minute.
Honey, just stand right here. Here's a glass of wine. Just turn around. Watch your shows.
I was thinking more like those inflatable clowns or, you know, a punching bag. Not like your wife. God. You're going to need her in the zombie apocalypse. Don't hurt her now.
My wife, the kids, whoever else. Yeah, I've hurt myself with those strollers more than anything. I had for the life. It took me like a year to figure out how to consistently fold and unfold those things. And it's just like one clip too. I am very stroller challenged. So it was very cathartic for me to go and actually make something useful out of it now. And I hope people take it to heart. I hope the stroller market booms after this because of my book, because now it's a weapon and a stroller.
Can we just talk about also like doll strollers? You have four girls in your house, assuming that perhaps you have one or two of those. Doll strollers are especially dangerous, I feel like. And, you know, they're a little smaller, say like a revolver or like a dagger would be to a shotgun. If you were comparing strollers to weapons.
One of the zombie tips I posted earlier, I had a picture of my kid holding up the doll strollers because she wasn't big enough for the big one. But yeah, you could absolutely use those to hurt them.
Yeah, those American Girl wheelchairs, those can do damage, let me tell you.
They're dangerous because they're a stroller and they're dangerous because they're a toy. They got both things going for them. They're double deadly.
Yeah, don't get rid of those, Liz. You better be hiding those away. People trying to sell those on eBay. Nope, those are like prime weapons for the apocalypse. Now, I have no idea what this means, but I'm just going to ask it of you. Is it better to be with a Rick or a Negan? I don't know what that means. I feel like maybe we're...
Can you tell I wrote that?
Are we looking at Tinder right now? Or are we searching OkCupid? I'm not sure what's going on
that's
here.
That's The Walking Dead. Rick is the good guy. Negan is the bad guy. But he's like the best bad guy ever. It's hard not to root for him. But if there's one truth of The Walking Dead, you don't bet against Rick ever. He's got that big gun. And
yes!
Rick is Rick. You don't bet against the Ricktatorship. So I'd have to go to Rick as much as it pains me to leave Negan behind.
Now, you would think I would know these things because they actually filmed The Walking Dead near where my children went to school.
Really?
In Georgia. Yes. And I believe Rick, I don't know who plays him. I saw him at the farmer's market.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Did you go up to him and talk to him about zombies or pretend to be one maybe? Just see, bite him and see what happens?
No, because I don't watch the show. Although, you know what? I really wouldn't have to do anything because I'm a mom of four. And at the time, they were all very little. So I probably actually looked like a zombie just to lack of sleep. I could have been an extra on the show.
Oh my God. I'm so jealous. It's Andrew Lincoln. He's British, by the way, Kristen.
Okay.
So talk to him next time and just be like, I don't know the show, but Liz would really like your autograph.
There's one thing about actors. They love being hassled at farmers markets. Absolutely love it. Just go for it.
Especially someone like him who never gets recognized. Yeah. Actually, one of the things I really like about the book is that you have a lot of practical advice. As you were saying, even if we don't end up in a zombie apocalypse during our lifetimes, I mean, we probably will. So that's why everybody should buy the book. But I really like the advice. Like, you had a safety chart for parents with lists of ways that kids can be hurt by, like, stuffed animals, safety scissors, even hurt by the warning labels themselves.
Yeah.
I really liked your kind of common sense take on parenting.
Yeah, I feel like it'll come in handy if there aren't zombies, which there will be. There 100% will be zombies. But if there aren't, I wanted a book that still made sense. When I set out to write this, you know, my account went viral and people were interested in a book for me, and they all wanted me to just kind of basically copy and paste my Twitter account. I didn't want to do that. I didn't think it would sell, and I thought, I just sounded like a bad idea. So I thought, how can I write a book that's funny but also do no research whatsoever? I'll write a zombie book. So that's how I came at this.
Well, I don't know. If you've got 100% success rate, then you're doing something right, James.
It works. Like, the research was real life. Like, you can't prove anybody else knows more about zombies than me. I mean, I've killed exactly as many zombies as everybody else. We're all tied at zero. So I feel like I'm a credible authority.
So listen, as we wrap this up, can you give us just kind of one final best tip for families? What kind of advantage do we have over single people? Like, what's one thing that we have going in our favor that'll help us in the zombie apocalypse?
I think that we're all, just as the title says, dead on the inside. I think when everything's already going wrong with the world and everyone else is sleep deprived and hungry and all that, it's like, we're already there. Welcome to our world. This is our everyday life. So I think that we're going to be more ready than the Bear Grylls of the world. We just can't try to do the things they do. We have to survive the zombie apocalypse like parents, thinking like parents, and we'll be the last ones left, and it'll be awesome.
I like that optimist point of view. I think that's really good.
Yeah, I'm optimistic about the end of the world.
Yeah. But also, we're dealing with children every day. So it sounds like we parents, we need to take a second, pat ourselves on the back and say, you know what? All of this, everything you're doing, the butt wiping, the potty training, it's preparing you for something bigger than you, the zombie apocalypse. Just saying that out loud makes me feel better.
So, James, tell us where we can find you. Besides, I mean, we can find Only Dead on the Inside, A Parent's Guide to Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse on Amazon or indie bookstores, libraries, hopefully. Where else can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Exploding Unicorn without the E. On Facebook, I'm Exploding Unicorn with the E, or you can search for James Breakwell, and I should pop right up as well. I'm on Instagram, James_Breakwell. So I'm kind of all over the place. You can't get away from me. And then my website is explodingunicorn.com.
And you guys should definitely follow him on Twitter at Exploding Unicorn, because every person counts, even when you've got 950,000. Maybe we can help you get to that big 1 million mark.
I notice everybody who follows me, and I take it personally every time somebody unfollows me. It makes me a little sad.
Well, you'll be laughing last when you survive the zombie apocalypse, and they don't even know how to do it.
Yeah, they can survive with me. They could buy the book, but if they don't want to, yeah, they can die. It's okay.
All right, well, listen, we are going to come back with our cool picks of the week, but first, this. This episode of Spawned is brought to you by American Housewife. Appreciate honesty? Then you'll love the ABC hit comedy American Housewife, back on a new night, Wednesdays, 9:30, 8:30 Central, after Modern Family, starting September 27th. Watch your favorite brutally honest, totally relatable mom, Katie Otto, along with her husband, Greg, work to ensure their three kids don't wind up like their Tony Towns Joneses. Critics say American Housewife is a must-watch, unapologetic, and a brave new take on the sitcom mom. The new season of American Housewife premieres on Wednesday, September 27th, 9:30, 8:30 Central, after Modern Family on ABC.
This episode of Spawned is also brought to you by Learn with Homer. And Kristen, I'm so glad that they're back, because you've been using it, right?
Yeah, we've been using it with my 6-year-old Bridget, and I have to say, she has been asking for it every single morning, except she doesn't know it's called Learn with Homer. She's like, Mom, you know that fun reading, drawing thing on your computer? And I'm like, oh, I know what that is. Learn with Homer.
So you could call it the reading drawing thing, or a Learn to Read app, right? Which is what it is for kids 2 to 8. So your 6-year-old fits right in there. And I love that she thinks it's fun, because I think that's one of the benefits of a great educational app, is kids don't even know they're learning.
I know. And oh my gosh, I mean, the stats on this show how well this really works. Using the Homer app just 15 minutes a day was shown to increase early reading scores by 74%. That's huge, in a recent study conducted by the former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Education, Dr. Susan B. Newman. That's amazing.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of our writers and staff members over the years from Cool Mom Tech have been using it, and they love it, which is why it always ends up on our list of favorite reading apps for kids every year when we write up our favorite educational apps. You know, we always talk about this question that kids learn best when they are pursuing their passions and interests.
Totally.
So if you like reading about fire trucks, you can have a dedicated pathway just to you on Homer about fire trucks. If you like ballerinas, if you like space travel, they've got all these different paths so kids can read what interests them, which which is so smart.
Yeah, and we've been tapping into the offline learning they offer too. So, you know, my daughter loves coloring pages and worksheets, and Homer offers you hundreds of printable worksheets, mazes, puzzles, and other activities. So when they're off the computer or they're off their tablet, they're going to be able to keep learning, you know, over and over again beyond that. And also, get this. So, you know, I haven't actually used this feature yet, but I can't wait to start trying it. Moms and dads, you can look at your kids' progress and even listen to a recording of your kids reading their first books. And, you know, for me to listen to Bridget, it would be great to hear her now and then listen to her over the course of a couple of months just to see her improvements.
Oh, or listen to her in like 8 years and be like, remember when you were six and not telling me you hated me and slamming doors?
I know. I know. Homer's going to have to come with a box of tissues too for all the parents who are going to listen to those little voices.
Well, the other thing that's great is it's priced really well. Up to four kids can use it at one time on the same membership. So if you've got a whole lot of kids like Kristen does, you're in good shape. It's just $7.99 a month or $79.99 a year, which is less than $2 a month per child. So obviously that's a lot less than a tutoring center or even the cost of a workbook. But here's the cool thing, Kristen.
Yes, I love
this. Spawned listeners, because they are better than other listeners,
yes,
get an exclusive 2-month free trial of Homer. Normal subscribers, only 30 days. Ours, 60 days.
So all you have to do is go to learnwithhomer.com/spawn to sign up. And I have to say, just as a side note, my daughter uses it on the computer, and I really appreciate that it's available on different gadgets because, you know, we've just been trying to do a little more computer and less tablet. And so it's been working fabulously. I'm really, really thrilled with
it. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. So we hope you guys check it out too. It's learnwithhomer.com/spawn and make sure you get your free 60-day trial.
Okay, James, it's time for
Cool Picks of the Week! Cool Picks of the Week!
And you, as our special guest, you get to go first. Lucky you. Tell us what you got.
I've got a book to recommend. It's Thanks Obama, My Hopey Changey White House Years by David Litt. He was a speechwriter for Obama, and he's 2 years younger than me, so I feel horribly unaccomplished in life now. But I met him in Chicago. There was a librarians convention, and we were both speaking, you know, begging these librarians to buy our books. And I went first, and I thought I did a really good job. And then he went after me, and he just made me look awful. It was the funniest speech I've ever heard. It was basically the story of, you know, messing up and not impressing your boss, but your boss is also the most powerful man in the free world. And that's what it was. It was hilarious. And so he gave me a copy of his book, and it's great. And I recommend everybody pick it up. It's Thanks Obama, My Hopey Changey White House Years by David Litt.
Do you know on Mom 101, my personal Twitter feed, what it says in my bio? It says advocate of Hopey Changey stuff.
Really?
Yes, it really does. So I know what book I am picking up.
Wow.
That sounds like a great pick, like funny and politics and everything I like.
Yeah, the speech he gave, it was the funniest speech about working for a president that was completely non-political I've ever heard. I don't know how he managed to talk for 15 minutes without mentioning politics, but he did. So I think you can appreciate this if you're on either side of the aisle, at least hopefully. I haven't finished the book yet, so don't hold me to that.
All right, well, my pick of the week has to do with the Instant Pot. And I'm curious, are you familiar with this, James? Is the Instant Pot something that you know about, and should we consider using that in case of a zombie apocalypse?
I'm not familiar with this. Is this a potty training thing or a coffee thing?
It's neither. James, oh my goodness. Just, you need to go Google Instant Pot.
It's like the crock pot of 2017, basically.
Oh, I love crock pots.
Yeah, it's like a 7-in-1. It's a pressure cooker. It's a rice cooker. It's a yogurt maker. You won't believe. And here's the thing. It has a huge cult following. And what they do with these Instant Pots now is they put decals on them to decorate them. And people get very, very clever. And so what I did over on Cool Mom Picks, I had to share this because, you know what? Everybody needs a laugh right now. They're getting it with this podcast. They're going to get a little bit more with these decals. So for instance, on the side of an Instant Pot, it might say, "Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. Prepare to dine." And my other favorite, featuring Lionel Richie, "Hello, is it me you're cooking for?" So anyway, this is super popular with the Instant Pot, folks. But it doesn't even matter if you love the Instant Pot. You got to go over. You got to see these. They're all pop culture. I've got Queen, Game of Thrones, Star Wars, oh, even a little Breaking Bad. You name it.
We need to find a zombie one.
We need to find a zombie one. Mmm, brains.
That'll get your kids to eat the vegetables.
Yeah, right. All right, Liz, what do you have?
Okay, so mine is probably not one that James is familiar with, though, you know, he might want to get it for his wife. Kristen, I have to give a huge shout out to Rihanna's new line of Fenty Beauty cosmetics.
Ah, yes. I've heard all
right,
about them.
Right, so Fenty Beauty by Rihanna has been blowing up the internet for the past week, and it's only available at Sephora. And I have to say, with full disclosure, we did a really fun partnered program with JCPenney and Sephora last weekend, and we got full makeovers. And the one product that I was like raving about nonstop out of several was the Fenty Beauty by Rihanna Glass Balm Universal Lip Luminizer, which is a fancy way of saying lip gloss. It's really good. It's like the perfect rose gold shade. It's not like super slick, like that baby oil kind of slickness. It helps like add more shine when you're wearing a matte lipstick. It is such a perfect lip gloss. I am blown away. So it's exclusively at Sephora or Sephora's and JCPenney's. Fenty Beauty Gloss Bomb Universal Lip Luminizer. I'm telling you, it's the color that looks good on absolutely everybody. And I love it.
Would it look good on me?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure.
And you know what? In the zombie apocalypse, everyone's going to have chap lips. I bet you could like trade it for something important one day. Maybe another stroller.
Get some of that now.
I was going to say, give this to your wife before you ask her to test out any of your new contraptions and things you're putting in your follow-up book, which I'm imagining life on Earth with no humans. Now what?
Or life on Earth with only children.
Oh, I think I had to take the zombies over them.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much, James. Well,
thank you for having me.
I cannot wait to read this. I'm so excited.
This is great. I really hope our listeners keep an eye out for your book, Only Dead on the Inside, A Parent's Guide to Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse. It is damn funny.
Yes.
So that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Spawned. And huge thanks to our excellent engineer, John Bowen.
You know what? We love hearing from you. Please, please drop us an email, spawned@coolmompics.com. Tweet us at coolmompics. You can use the hashtag SpawnShow. You can check us out on Facebook. And you know what helps? What really, really helps, zombie apocalypse or not, when you download our episodes, when you subscribe to our podcast, other people will learn about us and be imparted with all sorts of wisdom. And this is really important wisdom, right, Liz? I mean, this is big time.
Survival, yes, in the face of the apocalypse with zombies?
Yeah.
And what is more important than that? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not having any more breast milk versus formula feeding debates anymore, because with the zombie apocalypse coming at some point, we really need to focus, Kristen.
Yeah, absolutely. So please leave us a review on iTunes. It does help other people find us.
And it makes us happy.
Yes. Well, wait, does that matter to anybody?
When we're happy, you're happy.
Yay.
We just want more happy people in the world.
For sure. And then the rest of them, they can be eaten by zombies.
Thanks so much for listening to Spawn. This is Liz.
This is Kristen. Have a great day.
Bye.